are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
I just realized that if I'm not on speakerphone, that nobody hears yeah. Gene. Gene is...
Oh, really?
No, I heard him just fine.
You did?
Yeah. What you hear is different than what we hear. That's okay, though. You don't sound too bad, to be honest with you. I'm not going to complain about it.
Bob heard all the way over from where he sits. he could hear my voice.
So is this okay or it's not okay?
Sure, it's all right.
It's all right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sounds okay to me, so.
Because we have so much to talk about today. That
oh, good.
I think we need an extra hour. What do you think?
I wish I could give it to you. But,
you can't give it to me?
No.
You can't release that extra hour? What's on after us today?
Oh, well, let's see. Directly after you. Let's see. That's 10 o'clock. I'm trying to remember. I think it's the Balance of Nature show.
Balance of Nature show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's really important.
Well, yeah, you know, we've got
to have
that.
A balance of nature. And I hear that the plumber fittings, plumber fitters are giving PSAs now. That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, it is nice because they paid to be on. So.
That's great.
Yes.
Great. All right. So Gene has asked me for a chicken update. we're down to 9 now. We had 10.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we had a little accident. I was
breakfast, you mean, or something? Or?
I'm sorry?
Was it breakfast? Was that what it was?
What it was I made the mistake of not understanding canine reality. And so I let the two dogs were watching the chicks in the big container that we have them in. And I picked up one to show it to Cairo, and Cairo licked it and then bit it.
Oh, God.
After 3 days of trying to nurse this poor chicken that had a puncture in his neck, we had to put him out of his misery, put her out of her misery. But it was misery for us, I'll tell you.
My
wife was doing everything she could to treat this poor little chick. And dog human nature, I guess, is to, you know, he probably was startled by it, that it was moving. I don't think he had to eat it. But we lost one. But they're getting bigger every day. Every day that, you know, they're developing their feathers and tail feathers, and they're very cute. And they run around like maniacs from food dish to water dish to food dish. And of course, they're pooping all over the place in the container, and so Vinny has the joy of cleaning up. But they're very cute, and they're inside, so we're not worrying about predators other than my own dogs. But the dogs can't get to them, really. It was just my stupidity. But that's the update for the week, is that they're getting bigger.
And now, when are they going to be full grown? How long is it going to take?
It's going to take about 8 weeks, I think.
Oh, really? Okay.
They'll be big enough to go out in the coop. Yesterday, we got these little cups that have, it's very hard to describe. They look like little orange cups with a lever inside them. And the design is that the chickens will push down on the lever and water will come in once I've hooked them up to a pipe. So that'll be the next project, making an automatic waterer for them when they get a little bigger. And right now they have a watering dish where the water dribbles down into this plastic container and they can get a drink. But this way they'll be able to have a source of water on a regular basis.
So that's not workable as they get older? You have to upgrade the water supply?
Well, the water supply right now is made for little tiny beaks because that's how big they are. But as they get bigger, I'm going to have to make a bigger water feeder for them, just like I made a bigger food feeder for them that's already installed. So it's just, okay. You know, it's just watching YouTube videos and seeing how other people have done it and then setting it up. So these little cups that I bought, I saw on a different video, and it was really quite smart. They space them out on a piece of PVC pipe, and the chickens can just approach it and get a drink. It's not very common.
I'm just curious, how many people have YouTube channels about this topic?
You would not believe it.
Thousands, I'll bet.
You could spend all day and all night watching videos about how to build a chicken coop, how to feed chickens, how to raise chickens, how to deal with chicks, how to protect them from other animals, and you know, it goes on and on. The reality is most of the people that I know that have chickens had chickens because of hawks and all kinds of animals getting into the chicken coop. So we're trying to be, you know, the smarter chicken person and, you know, build the coop that can't be gotten into. But we'll see. We'll see. Because raccoons are pretty smart animals.
And, when you're someone jumps
in there, these things are pretty vulnerable animals. You know, they really can't fight back.
And when your job is, every day, is to look for food, you know, they're going to be pretty ingenious in ways of getting into the coop, or, you know, making, you know, you lift up a chicken and somebody eats it. But they are pretty smart. So now you have the raccoons, you have deer, you have
foxes, coyotes,
foxes,
hawks,
right?
Groundhogs, rats. There's a lot of things out there that would delight in a chicken dinner.
What I'm thinking of doing
is having Chick-fil-A deliver every night and just throw food all around the coop so that the animals will have dinner without eating my chickens.
Yeah, yeah.
We go through the same thing with the peaches and with the apples, and all of the fruit trees are in jeopardy of whatever's hungry that night. And we've got something eating the tomatoes now.
Are they the caterpillars?
No.
Or something bigger than that?
Something with teeth.
Oh, my goodness.
Big bite marks in the tomatoes. Yeah, it's a little disconcerting. If I had cameras on everything, it would be different.
Well, just look for, you know, like toast, some mayonnaise, and some bacon, and you'll find your animals who are going for what you're describing now. Because that's the kind of stuff they love to eat. Well, I mean, they eat anything, just about. I mean, they've been around for millions of years. They've become, good at eating everything. Leaves, everything. So you're constantly working against nature. Do you realize that?
Yeah, that's what we do. You know, we cut down trees. We put in parkways and throughways. We do everything that is really basically against nature.
Yeah.
Trying to create our own environment.
Yeah.
And so I thought today we could talk a little bit about critters. What do you think?
I had a noise there. Talk about what? I'm sorry.
About critters. We could talk about
critters. Oh, okay.
And some of the cereal, doesn't it? Critters that we have around the house. What do you think?
Yeah, let's see what the update is on those. You got a whole menagerie there.
Well, as we're doing home inspections, people are constantly. Can you close that door, please? Trying to do a radio show here. As we do inspections, you know, people are always freaking out about rodents. Nobody's happy about having mice or rats in the house, or chipmunks in the house, or squirrels in the house. And people tell me all the time about flying squirrels. I don't even know if they exist. All I know is that if there's a hole in your roof, any squirrel of any species is going to try and get inside because it's going to be warm in there.
Sure.
And they're going to search for food. And so holes around the house are a big deal. And it's very hard with some of these animals because some of them don't really have big bone structure. Some of them have the ability to squeeze into really small openings. And so they get in and they start to create a family inside the house. So obviously there need to be at least two, but the mouse population, the rodent population, in almost every house we go in exists.
Wow.
And they try and stay out of sight, but they leave evidence all the time.
Sure.
And so when we're doing inspections, I see what looks like little caraway seeds down in the basement all the time. And they like to run along the edge of walls and along the edge of the sill plate, which is the piece of wood that is right on top of the concrete. So if you've got concrete block or you've got a poured concrete foundation, there is a ledge that mice like to run along because they feel secure there. So they'll get in a little tiny hole about the size of maybe a dime or a nickel. And you remember what a dime or a nickel look like?
No.
Hole in your pocket. The bottom line is they can squeeze in. And, you know, we lie to people. We tell people that only 97% of the houses have rodents when we're really lying about the other 3%. Because almost every house that we go in has got rodent activity.
Yeah, but that's nothing new, though, is it? I mean, that's been around forever.
Not new at all. I mean, the pest control companies love it. So they're selling sticky boards and mouse traps and snap traps and putting down chemical and poison and all kinds of things on a regular basis because people are afraid of mice, which is, you know, totally amazing because you don't hear about people getting bitten by mice.
Right.
But
right.
Don't they carry germs?
Well, of course they do.
Okay.
But just about every animal carries germs.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably why that chicken died or was suffering so much is because the dog's mouth is not clean.
Cleaner than a human's, though.
Well, you know, they
so,
say
so
that.
They say. Yeah, right.
No, but, yeah, right, exactly.
So if I had bitten the chicken, maybe it would have gotten sick faster, but the reality is there's all kinds of germs and bacteria in all of these animals, and those animals are not taking any kind of medication or eating any kind of diet that might make them free of disease. There's a mouse disease that's called hantavirus, which is particularly dangerous to people, and one of the fears that we have as home inspectors is crawling around in these crawl spaces. We're apt to be mixing ourselves with all this fecal material that's in the crawl space. And yet, we want to know if there's termites. We want to know if there's water leaks. We want to know if there's problems. And, you know, as lovely as it is crawling around in a Tyvek suit and a hoodie and a respirator, it's an uncomfortable job to get into some of these places. Some of them we can't even get into. They're so small. You know, limit of access is always a concern that I have that we're not going to see the bugs if the bugs are there or see if there's a rodent issue in a house because we can only get in so far. So one of the things that I bought last year at the Home Inspectors Conference was, and pardon me for the name of it, it's called a ferret, which is another little animal. But what this is a little tiny camera that's on an extended stick, like a selfie stick. And so when we can't get into a crawl space, we try and use this little tiny camera that has an LED light on the front of it and put it in to see what's going on in the crawl space. And, you know, the sewer scan that I bought, I can do the same thing with that. I can send that in to take a look at what's going on. And that actually has an articulating camera on it that can look up and down and left and right that I can control from outside. So we're getting a much safer benefit by some of these tools to take a look at some of these miserable crawl spaces. But, you know, after a bunch of time in the crawl space, what happens is insulation falls down, things deteriorate, things start leaking, a valve might be dripping for a long time. No one goes into these crawl spaces except probably home inspectors and pest control people and maybe repairmen. So we find a lot of things, a lot of corrosion, sometimes pinhole leaks and stuff like that, sometimes termites and carpenter ants and powder post beetles. So there's a lot of critters that like these dark, damp places. The crawl space I was in yesterday, one of my favorite insects was down there, crickets. And they were just jumping all over the place because they weren't thrilled I was in there. Now, crickets don't really hurt anything. They're just annoying because they make a lot of noise. But it's a little disconcerting when things are jumping around you.
Yeah, no matter what it is, exactly.
Oh,
yeah,
am I painting a pretty enough picture?
Oh, yeah.
Bob, you want to go in the crawl space with me?
Never, thank you.
No?
No.
But, you know, we wear Tyvek suits that are zippered up to our throats, and we wear these little foam head pieces that cover our, you know, I just don't want a spider going down my neck. And then I'll wear like a miner's LED light on my hat.
Oh, yeah.
And the respirator if it's really nasty in there. And so I'm not getting, and gloves. So I'm not really getting too involved with some of the dirt, but when I come out, I got to throw all that stuff away. Not the light.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the Tyvek, though, yeah.
Yeah, the Tyvek, definitely.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never get out of there without it ripping at some point.
Ugh.
So it's always an adventure. And people say, what do you mean you're not going in there? When we look into the hole and we see that there's an inch of water and there's stuff bobbing around, no, we're not going in there. But if it's dry, in most cases we do. And what we're typically doing in the crawl space is taking either a termite probe or a large screwdriver and banging into the wood every 6 to 10 inches along the sill plate to see if the bugs are getting in. But very often we see dead rodent bodies or we see poison all over the place. And, you know, you got to worry about your own pets. Because cats are known to go into crawl spaces, and rodents, you know, we hear stories all the time. Bob, just let me know if we need a break for, at some point. But
Any time now would probably be good.
All right, then let me just finish the sentence.
Okay.
We find that rodents will hoard packets of poison. So very often people think that they have an infestation that is unbelievable because they'll put poison packets, you know, these Decon things and other brands, and they'll put them in different places around the house, and then they disappear. And very often what happens is we'll move a piece of plywood in the crawl space, and there'll be 30 packets there because the mice are smart enough to hoard it for winter, thinking
that's
food.
That's great, because then you don't have to go out and buy the stuff.
Yeah, just keep redistributing it. Yeah.
You're saving money.
All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Around the House.
Gutter Guys are located in Stamford, but they cover a good deal of lower Fairfield County. And, you know, a lot of times I see houses that don't have any gutters. And the builders will often say to me, oh, you don't need gutters. We've provided enough drainage around the outside of the house. And I will tell you, that is the most nonsensical thing. You need to control the water. When the water is coming down as rain or snow or hail or any other form of water, you need to control it. And so having gutters and leaders is a great idea. And some of the products that they sell include putting up new gutters, putting up new leader pipes, directing water away from the house. And they have all different types of gutter guards and leaf guards and all kinds of things that can make your maintenance much less. So you want to give them a call. It's the Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, 327-1346. And they do gutter cleaning and power washing, and they'll clean your skylights. Give them a call. Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, and tell them you heard it on Around the House. David Baker, Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, providing all types of flooring solutions from initial design through expert installation, located in Fairfield and New Haven counties. His success is being able to connect with his customers. He makes buying floors easy, safe, and effortless, striving to provide a different experience from anything else that people have ever experienced before. He's part of Floor Coverings International, an organization with over 115 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada, offering a wide selection of flooring products in several price ranges, including carpet, hardwood, natural stone, ceramic tile, laminate flooring, vinyl, specialty materials, and eco-friendly selections, including renewable, sustainable hardwood products, natural linoleum, cork, and bamboo. What makes them different is they bring the store to you. So you call and make an appointment at 203-386-1776, and he brings the mobile display room to your door. And he'll bring in the samples, show you what you need to know, and you pick it, he measures it, and they'll come and install it. He brings the store to your door and inspiration to your feet. That's Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, 203-386-1776. If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today.
You know, the phones have been absolutely ringing off the hook. And as a result, if you are buying a house, you better call quickly.
No.
Jamie says don't even call. The thing is that just about every home inspector in Fairfield County is booked for at least 2 weeks, and most people are being given 7 to 10 days to have a home inspection. And it just isn't going to happen unless people start giving people more time to do their due diligence, which is the only fair thing to do. People are actually stealing houses out from underneath people because people can't get their inspections done. And there are people who I believe are foolish that are saying, well, all right, I'll take the house without a home inspection or without a mortgage contingency or without a termite inspection. And I think that they're actually being very foolish because they're accepting this crazy pandemic world without saying, no, I want 15 days to inspect it because then I can get the inspector I want to look at it. Instead, I don't know where they're getting inspectors from, but people will call up and say, I need it done in the next 2 days, and we can't even accommodate them. There isn't enough time in the day.
Well, even in regular times, wasn't it kind of pushy to say, oh, I need it within 2 days?
Well, it's always been pushy, but there are people who get into circumstances where there's a bidding war on a house, and so they need to get these things done. We understand that. But when we're doing 3 and 4 inspections a day and sending people in every direction to pick up radon testing and do water testing and stuff, it's just not a reality right now.
Yeah.
The amount of people that are coming from New York that want to get out of the city, that want to buy something, it's a feeding frenzy. It's very uncomfortable for me because it's almost like I'll take that one. All right, I'll take that one. You know, it's not. Normally, you would carefully shop. You're spending over $1 million on a house in many cases, and yet they're buying things unseen. They're looking at it on a video and saying, "Well, I guess we could live in this." And I've said it before. I think in 2 years, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, "What the hell did we do? Why did we buy this house? They didn't know it was a busy street, or they didn't know it wasn't the neighborhood that they wanted to live in, or they were just going by the school district rather than what kind of house it is or whether there's enough room for expansion."
And I'm sure there are a lot of people who say, "Ah, we'll fix it later. That's okay. We'll fix it later."
Yeah, but, you know, most...
Without knowing what it is.
Well, not only that, but most of the people that I look at have no clue as to how to hire someone, how to fix something, what to do. They all say, "Oh, I'll call someone." Well,
yeah,
who are they calling?
That guy.
Well, I know my contract booked for months, but I'm willing to wait for him because he's really good. So you're going to hire somebody that has no experience, no insurance, no real knowledge. He doesn't have a set of subcontractors that work for him on a regular basis. You know, it's the Wild West out there right now.
This drive to get out of New York City is pushing people to do some of the strangest things. The real estate guys that do a show on Wednesday talk about how people are putting in bids on houses sight unseen.
Right.
How do you do that?
Well, you do that. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they've never gone in the house.
Yeah.
They're looking at pictures and videos.
Yeah.
And they're saying, "Well, okay, that looks like it'll be okay." And then you get there and there's no backyard, or there's a stream running through the backyard where they wanted to put an addition on, and then they find out that the EPA isn't going to let them do any addition. Yesterday, the house that we looked at, the guy said, "I'm going to tear the garage down." And I said, "If you tear the garage down, you won't be able to rebuild it." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's a pre-existing, non-conforming building. What you have to do is fix it. You take down all but one wall, and you rebuild it, and then you can leave it where it is. But you can't take down the whole structure and try and build a new garage in a different location without getting permits and excavating, and they probably won't let you. Because now we have zoning. Now the zoning says it's got to be so far off the property line and so far from the backyard, and all of a sudden the garage is going to be in the middle of his backyard, not on the on where the driveway is.
I understand there's a group in Connecticut trying to eliminate zoning for the state. What do you think of this?
Well, I don't think that that's going to happen because...
I hope not.
Right now...
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's always going to be a group that says, "I don't want any rules." But if you've got an expensive home on a nice street, you're not going to want somebody to have 47 people living in the basement. You're not going to want somebody to build right up against your property line.
Right.
So zoning came about out of need and necessity, not out of trying to dictate how people live. It was just that some people take advantage. Now, you've seen these buildings that go right to the curb or right to the sidewalk. That's what zoning is all about, is restricting and making sure that there's clearances and we need zoning rules because people take advantage, whether it's residential or commercial.
Right.
So if you have a garage and you want to tear it down, how far can you take it apart before they consider that it's totally torn down? I mean, can you go down to the studs and that's okay?
Well, there's a house that's being rebuilt that's near me, and what they've done is they've left the foundation and they've left one wall standing.
Which, so that qualifies it?
In reality, it's a stupid thing because, you know, what they left is a horrible piece of siding. But you know what's going to happen when they build the other three sides, then that ugly wall is going to get knocked down and rebuilt.
Yeah.
So it's just the way that we do things.
But so that will prevent them being in violation of, you know, what yeah. we're talking about here.
So they've been told, don't take down the entire structure.
Right, so you leave something up.
Well, a repair could be three sides of a building and the roof.
Wow, okay.
Now, if you're going to expand it, then you have to get permits and show an engineer drawing or you need to have the plans and get the plans approved and get any plumbing and electrical and all the rest of that approved and take out permits for it. But as long as you retain the original footprint where it is, then in most cases and there's exceptions to the rule. You can
sure.
take and go to the Zoning Board of Appeals and say, look, we've got a hardship. Would you look at these plans and maybe make a judgment? But then you have to, that's what happened behind me, is that they found out that the house had no structure of any importance underneath it. And so putting a second floor on top of this building that didn't have any footings would have been a disaster. So they allowed them to demolish the building and start fresh. But they had to go before hearings, and those hearings required that I and any neighbors within so many feet would be notified and that we'd be told when the hearings were so that we could go participate in the hearing. Now, I didn't
what kind of time lapse is that?
Them building a new house, but I had no idea they were going to build such a big house.
This is the kind of thing that we came up against when we wanted to put up a new tower up on North Street. And there was, you know, the hearings were opened up and a neighbor would come by, one of the neighbors, and decide, no, we don't want that there. And it wasn't anywhere near it. They could see it, but it wasn't close to them.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is that anybody can voice their opinion.
Hmm.
And, well, think about this. Wherever you live, somebody is going to take out a permit and want to open up a car wash. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, the car wash may make a lot of sense as a business. The accessibility on that particular street might be excellent, might be a corner piece of property, and cars can go in the back and come out the front, and maybe there's a place for washing down, you know, drying the cars and stuff like that. But you don't want it next to your house because it's
right.
going to be continuous traffic all day long, all night long, until they close.
Right.
So that's why we have commercial zoned areas, we have residential zoned areas, we have mixed usage zoned areas, and people have to look at those areas and say, do I want to live there or do I want to have my business be there? Because there are certain businesses that don't want to be near busier other businesses, right?
Course,
or
sure.
manufacturing. How many
right.
how many people want to live next to a gun club?
Or a chemical build company.
Or even a place, you know, there are restrictions with zoning for roosters. Getting back into the critter discussion. So,
well, most of us can't have roosters with our chickens. I think it's a noise issue, actually.
Of course it is, because people don't realize that roosters crow all day long.
Yeah.
And so I don't want any roosters. I don't want any animals. It's bad enough my dogs bark. If I could figure out how to make them stop barking without physically hurting them,
yeah.
I would do that. Because I don't want to be a burden to my neighbors either. And every time somebody comes to my door, the dogs go off like an alarm. So, you know,
your dogs have a very low threshold there. That's true. That's true.
Well, the thing is that if we want to get along with each other, we can't be constantly irritating each other. Right?
Absolutely.
And so things that make noise all day long. I mean, remember when all the people were buying alarms and the alarms were chirping like crazy on the cars? Every time
yes.
somebody bumped into a car, the car yep. alarms were going off. There was a period of time where it was almost like you expected to hear that noise.
Well, it became a point. The point became where it wasn't that somebody's breaking into my car. Now it's shut that thing off.
Right, right. So you can't be that annoying to people.
Right.
So those alarms have pretty much disappeared, haven't they? I mean, it's very rare that you hear a car alarm like that anymore.
That's true. That's true. Steve, we got a phone caller. So let me...
Angry neighbor. It's your angry neighbor, Steve.
give me a second here to operate this this thing here.
What's
the name? What's the name of this Rube Goldberg? That's it, right? Hang on, just a second. Okay, I got Steve and the caller on.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Who's this?
Hello?
You're on the air. Talk.
Okay, yes. You're talking about being a good neighbor and all. What do you consider an Airbnb? Is that a business? Does that belong in a residential area?
Well, you know, that is a interesting question. And
you don't want to touch it.
You don't want to touch it, right. I think that it is... one of the things that has come about in the last couple of years, because people really like the idea of staying in someone else's house without them being there. And some people, I'm always amazed when I do inspections for people who tell me that they've got four houses. You know, they've got the house in London, they've got the apartment in New York, they've got the house in the woods in Wilton, and... I comically say to them, maybe they don't take it as a comic thing, but I say to them, let me know when you're not here, and I'll come swim in your pool. And there are other people who have said, you know what, I got a pool, I got a house I'm not in three quarters of the year, maybe I'll rent it out by the day. And, you know, a lot of people do that in Nantucket and Cape Cod, and they make a lot of money in Florida with timeshares and stuff like that. And so the Airbnb became a concept. I don't feel particularly comfortable renting out a room out of my house to a stranger to come in. So I would never do that. But the reality is one of my students came in one time, and he stayed in someone's backyard. They had set up a shed with a toilet, and they rented him the shed for $69 a night. And he took it on as a challenge. It had like a bunk bed in it, and it was as rudimentary as you can imagine. And he was thrilled to pay $69. Do I think that it's right? I don't know. I would have to reserve judgment. Some places it would seem that it would be okay, and other places it would probably be a burden. See, if you're living next door to someone who's got 14 cars in the driveway because all these people are coming in and you don't know who's there anymore, I don't think that that's running a hotel out of a house.
Yeah, the thing is right now with this pandemic, we got a revolving door here with this Airbnb. People are coming from all over the country. They got Tennessee, Virginia, California, New Jersey, and they just keep changing. And it's not right. It's a three-family house. And these cars are unbelievable.
Have you spoken to the health department?
Well, I don't know if the health department would be the answer. It might be just the zoning board or a zoning officer.
Well, during this pandemic, they're obviously not quarantining properly.
Right.
No, definitely not quarantining, no. And now the governor just said that they're going to fine them. But who do I call to keep an eye on these people coming in?
I think you could try the health department and ask, and I think you could try the zoning officer and ask that. There are restrictions on some of these things, but you raise an interesting question with the pandemic and with quarantining, because obviously that's not happening. The other thing, just trying to keep it a little lighter, is you can play the license plate game. You know how we when we go on trips, we would write down all the different license plates that were there.
I
write down their license plates, and you know where they're coming from.
I got pictures. I took pictures of all the license plates. We had a pickup truck from California with a camper on it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Sounds like,
well, I'll
you know, it's not a problem that we're going to make light of. It is a real problem. And, you know, if you're worried about the virus, stay the hell away from there.
Right across the street.
Yeah, but stay away from it. Take your pictures with a zoom lens.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I
don't get that close.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to make a few phone calls, but with Town Hall being closed, it's kind of hard for them to speak directly to me.
Well,
unless I email.
Try email. Also, there's probably a citizen's hotline that you could call, and, you know, you may feel like you're getting nowhere, but at least you're doing something.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Wish I had a better
answer. Have a good day.
Okay, you too.
Okay. Gene's back.
What?
Gene is back, I say.
Gene's back.
Yeah.
I thought that was an interesting thought that guy had, the last caller there.
You know, with the quarantining, it's a real factor that if people are just coming in and staying in someone's house and they're not staying there for the 14-day quarantine, if they're wandering around, they could be spreading the virus,
mm-hmm.
or they could be putting themselves at risk as well. You know, there's always two sides to this stuff, you know, right? Yeah, we do understand why people are fleeing the city. Because you just can't protect yourself from the amount of people that are usually on the street, in the elevators, in the stores. I understand that too. If I had a bunch of kids and I lived in an apartment in Manhattan and I was getting in that elevator every day, I'd be freaking out.
Well, that's why a lot of them are coming here.
Yeah.
And who can blame? Can't blame them for that, you know.
Blame anyone for this thing. I mean, the problem is there's still a lot of people not wearing masks. There's still a lot of people that are not being tested. You know, there's nothing quite like waiting 4 days to find out if you've got it or not.
Yeah, that really. Yeah.
You know that this whole. I was fortunate enough. The test that I took, we got it 15 minutes after, but we had to wait hours online to get the test. I don't understand why this takes so long, why it's so complicated.
Well, it wouldn't be ordinarily, except it's the government isn't supportive of the country at this point. You know, I mean, we're like at the bottom of the heap.
I got to tell you, I firmly believe that this government is more interested in people dying than staying alive.
I agree with that. I think, well, we'll get rid of some of the people, and we'll open up some real estate that we can sell. You know, it's a cynical way to look at things, but I think that's what's going on to some extent.
Well,
I don't really care about the people. So
heard my
that's
views,
not a good thing.
And, you know, we have to take care of each other right now.
Yes.
And
that's what wearing the mask is about.
Well, it's not that. It's that we've got to be careful. We've got to not be on top of people. We're so used to being social that, you know, people still want to bump elbows and shake hands and get up close to people, and they don't realize that there is an element of risk. I don't want to get it. Mm-hmm. And my chiropractor the other day said the same thing. Don't come in here without a mask. Don't get me sick. I'm out of business if I'm sick.
Right.
And never mind that you could get really sick and die. Even if you just get mildly sick, you're going to be out of business for a couple of weeks at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are freaking out right now. You know, you hear about all these stores closing and everything else. Drive down the main street of almost any town right now and look and see how many vacant stores there are. You know, this economy is going to take a long time before it turns around again. Because we have taken the profit out of everyone's pocket right now, except for certain businesses. And those certain businesses are all, you know, my business right now, because all these people are coming in, has been very busy. But I don't know how long that's going to last. And real estate could turn to crap in 2 weeks from now, and
sure,
there'll be nothing.
Sure.
And so, you know, I'm trying to keep 8 families fed.
So in that regard, let's take a break.
on that happy note? All right, I'll go get a snack.
All right, you're listening to Around the House. Stand by, everybody.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Morning fog, then mostly sunny today with highs 84 to 88. Mostly clear, mild and muggy tonight, low 70 to 75. Mostly sunny skies tomorrow with highs approaching 90. Mostly sunny, hot and humid on Monday, 90 to 95. Mostly sunny, hot and humid on Tuesday. Scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms around 90. Mostly sunny on Wednesday around 85. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about the window people. They've been in business over 80 years doing home improvements and creating home improvement excellence. Ted Davey and I have been friends for more than 35 years, and they're located at 43 McGee Avenue in Stamford. The window people do all kinds of home improvements at this point, not only windows and doors, but they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing all kinds of improvements. Their website is www.thewindowpeople.net. You can reach them by dialing 203-323-1804. They've been selling and installing high-quality windows, doors, roofing, skylights, siding, awnings, selling it to homeowners and contractors and businesses in Fairfield and Westchester counties since 1932. And Ted Davey is involved with every aspect of it and a friend of mine. So when you call him, tell him Steve Gladstone told you to call. So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys and about 5 trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com or 203-540-1533. 203-540-1533. Jonathan's Painting Service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves, and I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service, 203-540-1533.
All right, we're back.
Yay.
And good morning, Mary Ann, who's listening to us on Facebook. And Victor says in Bethlehem, there's no zoning. I'm assuming Bethlehem, Connecticut.
There's no zoning there at all?
There's no zoning. And Nauke said that he saw a family from California in the supermarket, the only ones with no masks, and they were sneaking through the market like avoiding humans.
Please.
During an outing, like the Chaka and the Sleaze Stacks, avoiding humans during an outing. I don't know what that means, but they weren't wearing masks. There's a lot of people that believe that they have the right to not wear masks.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, people are dying. You got to take this seriously. My wife is constantly saying, "Bring your mask, bring your mask." And I got a box of masks in the truck. You know, I'll get out of the car and forget to put the mask on. I'll turn around. I'll go right back to the car and get a mask. I don't know that the gloves are really important at this point, but the masks I think are really important. We sneeze, we spew moisture all the time into the air, and we receive it as well. So I think that the mask is an important thing. And people who feel that they don't have to wear a mask are putting the rest of us at risk.
Yeah, I see that, and I walk the other way or cross the street or go to another aisle or something. I don't want to be around them.
So they're putting you into an inconvenient situation.
Yeah.
Where you have to be worrying about them.
Absolutely.
That's not fair. Not fair. I don't know what we can do about it, because I just don't think that it's the job of our trained police officers to be giving, mask infractions.
I agree.
The police department people do that. I'm not a happy camper in regard to the what's going on at the recycling center. They let go a whole bunch of people, and now they've got the recycling center. The mayor decided, okay, we'll open up for 2 days instead of 7 days or 6 days. They let go a bunch of people, and they closed the recycling center, and they were only going to have it open on Saturdays, which you can well imagine what was going to happen there. There was going to be traffic all the way down the street and probably need police officers to direct traffic. We're so foolish with some things. We know that people are constantly bringing stuff to the recycling center and the dump, and yet that's the first thing that we're going to cut. It would be as foolish cutting the garbage services. If we need money, then we have to start looking at, well, what do we need to charge people for dropping off stuff? And people are going to complain about that as well, because they say, well, this is my taxes. My taxes, we're paying for that. But we're going through odd times. We really are. We had a meeting on my street this week where, there's 40 houses on my street, and probably about 30 of those families got together in the yard of one of my neighbors, and we just spread out chairs all the way around in a big circle and had a neighborhood meeting. It was very interesting. I took a panoramic picture of it. But it was really nice to see some of these people, because we don't, we wave to each other in our cars. But basically, since the pandemic, there's been no activities on the street where anybody is really socially getting together. And so it was interesting to have this meeting the other night.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and she lives on a nice, quiet road in Westport. And she goes, there was a party in the house behind her, and people were getting drunk, and I guess these were adults, too, and getting drunk and falling all over themselves, no masks. I'm thinking, these people are freaking idiots. They're taking a gamble I would never take.
Yeah.
And it's unfair to all the neighbors, the other neighbors, too, of course. But there are people out there who just don't care and think they're immune.
Our first hour is wrapping up, guys.
Yeah, I hear the music in the background. So I promise come back, we'll talk about some around-the-house items. I've got a whole list of things that I wanted to get into that we've gotten somewhat sidetracked on. But we'll be right back after the news and the weather.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
Saint Hannah, gassing protesters. I'm Christopher Cruz. Hannah has now become a hurricane as she heads toward Texas, where she's predicted to make landfall this afternoon or evening. She's the first hurricane of the Atlantic hurricane season. Meteorologist Allison Chinchar says there's a drenching ahead for Texas.
You also have storm surge warnings up and down the coast here. The peak, again, kind of being around that Corpus Christi and Rockport area of 3 to 5 feet. And again, potential for some tornadoes and even waterspouts is possible.
Residents in several South Texas communities are being urged to evacuate.
Federal agents again used tear gas to try to disperse a large crowd of protesters outside the federal courthouse in Portland, Oregon last night. Correspondent Lucy Kavanoff reports protesters are saying the agents are just making things worse.
These kinds of tactics, they say, simply escalate things more. They don't calm the crowd down. Instead of reducing the size of this protest, it sort of rallies more and more people to the cause. It gets more people to come out here. And what protesters will tell you, the ones who've been here for nearly 60 days trying to highlight the original message of Black Lives Matter, is that this then dilutes the movement.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Senate Republicans must not go cheap when they release their coronavirus stimulus bill next week.
This is an alarm that needs to be sounded.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is talking about those enhanced unemployment benefits that run out next week. Senate Republicans are talking about cutting those benefits in their new bill.
I want to review the fact that they put $2 trillion onto the national debt to give a tax break to the wealthy, 83% of the benefits to the top 1%.
Republicans in the Senate have released the parameters of their bill, which is much smaller than the bill the House passed more than 2 months ago. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
South Korea today reporting more than 100 new coronavirus cases, the first time that's happened in 4 months. I'm Christopher Cruz.
So how many of us have lived in sweatpants, socks, and hoodies for the last couple of months? I don't think I even remember what a belt is. Luckily, there's Skechers for your feet. So now they're all staying safe, but starting to get out a little bit for the summer, we can keep that same comfort no matter where we go. Just head to Skechers.com, and you can see all the ultra-comfortable options Skechers has to offer. There are comfortable sandals and shoes for running, relaxing, walking, playing golf, everything you love to do under the sun, out of the sun, in the rain, in the house, whatever. And so many are machine washable out of Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. See them all right now at Skechers.com.
Guys, who needs an untucked shirt right now? How about anyone who's considering putting on real clothes for the first time in months? At Untuck It, we design shirts to be worn untucked, so comfort is our thing. Our shirts are the perfect blend of comfort and polish, so the next time you have to roll out of bed and straight into a Zoom call, reach for an Untuck It shirt instead. Save 30% off all linen shirts now at untuckit.com or your nearest Untuck It store. Untuck It, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
Safety regulators have issued an emergency order directing airlines to inspect and, if necessary, replace a critical engine part on Boeing 737 jets after four reports of engines shutting down during flights.
The Federal Aviation Administration says operators must inspect any Boeing 737 that's been parked for at least 7 days or been flown fewer than 11 times since being returned to service. That's because of reports that certain engine valves can become stuck in the open position. The FAA says corrosion of the valves on both engines could lead to a complete loss of power, forcing pilots to land somewhere other than the airport. Boeing acknowledged that with planes being stored or used less often during the coronavirus pandemic, the valve can be more susceptible to corrosion. The order affects about 2,000 twin-engine passenger jets in the United States. I'm Barbara Cusack in Washington.
And I'm Christopher Cruz.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-475-9491. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-475-9491. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-475-9491. 1-800-475-9491.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Morning fog, then mostly sunny today with highs 84 to 88. Mostly clear, mild and muggy tonight, low 70 to 75. Mostly sunny skies tomorrow with highs approaching 90. Mostly sunny, hot and humid on Monday, 90 to 95. Mostly sunny, hot and humid on Tuesday. Scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms around 90. Mostly sunny on Wednesday around 85. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
The 2020 season of Red Sox baseball will be here and gone before you know it. Don't miss it, as we're broadcasting just over 60 games on both AM 1490 and FM 105.5. The regular broadcast team of Joe Castiglione, Sean McDonough, Will Fleming, Lou Maloney, and Mike McNansky will be in place again this season. So join us for the 2020 Red Sox baseball season on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
You know, I listened to some of those commercials. And they talk about not wearing regular clothing, not wearing a belt, going peeing three times at night. What's going on with the commercials? God.
I was thinking the same thing.
Pandemic commercials. I don't know. He said getting dressed for your Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
You need to tuck the shirt in. Oh, the whole culture is changing. Great.
Well, like our job right now, we who knows what we're wearing, if we're wearing anything at all.
Well, I'm on Facebook, so.
Okay.
I'm willing to stand up if anyone cares.
just don't get arrested.
I need a haircut, but I'm wearing clothing. You don't have to worry about that. I don't think anybody wants to see me in any other way. All right, so I wanted to get back to the discussion about what to do if you're getting critters in the house. And one of the things that I've done successfully for the last bunch of years is buying, and you can get them at Home Depot or Lowe's, sticky boards. And sticky boards are basically just a piece of cardboard with a very heavy-duty glue on them. And you can place them in places where the mice tend to run, and they'll get stuck on the board. And while that may not sound like the most humane way of catching something, it is a pretty successful way of catching them. A lot of people like snap traps, which will obviously kill the mouse. But sometimes what I can do is I can just put the thing outside and let them try and escape from the sticky board outside where they aren't in my house. But to a great extent, they get killed and they die on the board. But I don't want them in the house, and I don't want them procreating in the house, because then I'm going to have a whole bunch of them that I'm going to have to catch. The other thing is sealing up holes. And what you can do is you can walk around in your basement or look in your crawl space and turn off all the lights and look for light coming in from outside. Obviously, do it during the day. And anywhere where you see a hole, you might want to take some expanding foam and maybe a little bit of steel wool and put it in the hole and fill the hole up with expanding foam. And a couple of the places where I see it all the time is where the piping is coming in from the air conditioning, where the exhaust pipes are, where a vent from a bathroom might be. Really, any penetrations coming through the siding are places where critters can get in. And it could be the little flappers on the vents from the bathroom or the vent from the dryer could be stuck in the open position and critters are getting in. If every time you turn on your dryer, you hear something flying out the back of the house, it could very well be that a bird is nesting in that vent fan. The bottom line is you really need to be diligent to make sure that there's no holes that are easy access for animals to get in into your house. The other thing is keeping the garage door closed. Because a lot of people don't realize that as they're opening and closing the garage door, there are critters that are watching your house thinking, now I could get in and maybe I could get the dog food that's in the bag in the garage.
Yeah, we always close our garage doors. We never leave them open because there are flying things, too, that get in there and nest. And those are not welcome in my house.
People ask all the time about the mud wasps and the paper wasps. you know, paper wasps above the doorway are very territorial, and they will sting you as you're going in and out. So you got to knock those down in the early evening with something that sprays at least 20 feet, because you don't want to be involved in running down the street from these things.
No.
Or
jumping into the pool isn't going to help you either, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you got to stay underwater for quite some time.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 minutes.
I'm not into that. So.
But
it's a good. It's just a good thing to do anyway. People don't see what you have and come in here and steal. I mean, who knows who's watching your house, you know?
Yeah. The deer are, probably one of the bigger problems is that we don't have, most people don't have deer fencing around their house. And the reason why I like deer fencing is it keeps out almost all of the large mammals out of your property. The raccoons tend not to climb over the deer fencing. The possums, the skunks, the groundhogs, if they're not tunneling into your property, then they're probably not going to come in. And all of those are carrying ticks. So if you want to reduce the tick population, have somebody come in and spray, but also consider putting up deer fencing around your property. The reason why I like the deer fencing is because it disappears into the trees and shrubs, and it isn't a particularly obvious fence, but it does the job of keeping out all of these mammals.
What keeps it out is it
keep your mammals in.
What's the deterrent? The height?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't jump over it.
Oh, okay.
If they get into the yard, they might jump into it, but they're not going to jump over it.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
so that makes them how tall, then?
We have a deer that gets into the property because the gate is open, and they'll run around the property trying to find a place to get out.
Yeah.
And sometimes I got to go out there and chase them towards the gate again. I chased a groundhog the other day around the side of the house, onto the deck, off the deck, and out. Because I didn't want, groundhogs will eat everything in your garden. Everything. And there's a lot of them now. We've never had so many rabbits as we have right now. My whole neighborhood is just crawling with rabbits. And so as a result,
we have opossums over your way?
What?
Do you get any opossums?
I haven't seen a possum in a long time. The only place I see possums is usually on the side of the road where they've been hit by a car, because they're a pretty slow-moving animal. And so they'll be in the middle of the road, and they'll get nailed by a car. But I don't see a lot of them. And we haven't really, frankly, seen a lot of raccoons in the last couple of years, because a lot of them were living in the storm drain system, and apparently there was a lot of rabies going on, where they got sick and died.
We don't see
a lot of that. But what I am seeing more and more is rabbits and groundhogs, and we're seeing some foxes now. And, you got to be careful. Foxes are very fast-moving animals, and if they're hungry, they're going after the rabbits, they're going after the chipmunks, they're going after small dogs and cats. And you could lose your house, your house pet, very easily if you're not careful. But
Steve,
I had two big
bucks too.
Steve, I got a caller on the line.
You do.
Would you hold on while I get you guys connected?
Sure.
All right. Let's see here. There's that, and there's that. Okay, you're connected.
Welcome to Around the House.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Question regarding a problem with one of the faucets. In the house here, there's like black flakes coming out of this one particular faucet. I'm thinking that the faucet may need to be changed.
You're not experiencing it in any other faucet?
No.
Does the faucet have an aerator?
I believe it does, yes.
All right, what I would do is I would unscrew it, I would clean it off, try and keep all the pieces in the same position that they're in, but clean it out because the screen is probably catching some of this, and take a look at what that material actually is. If it's plastic, or it looks like plastic, you may have an issue with your water heater.
Okay.
Because the dipped tube in water heaters are usually a plastic tube that brings, just, I've got to explain it a little bit. A dip tube brings the cold water down to the bottom of the water heater to be heated. And because we don't want the cold water going into the top of the water heater. So it's a plastic tube, and over time it will get brittle and deteriorate, and sometimes you'll get, very often people will ask me, how come I have this blue plastic in my faucets? But it could very well be that if it's being the result of hot water coming into that faucet. But
now,
try and look and see where it's coming from, because it may not be that faucet. It may be in other faucets, and you may want to pick another faucet somewhere else in the house, take the aerator off, and see if there's some there, too.
Okay. Is it possible that the water, the hot water, may be set too hot?
Well, you don't want the hot water to be too hot anyway, because you can get scalded, but you can always try turning it down a little bit.
Yeah.
But if the dip tube is deteriorating, either you need to have somebody replace the dip tube, which is not always an easy job, or you're going to be buying a new water heater.
Yeah. It seems like this is, we totally renovated the house back about 10 years ago, but I think this may be the third hot water tank that we're going to have to get it replaced with.
Are you on a well or on city water?
No, well, it's city water.
Well, city water shouldn't be too acidic. But you see, the problem with water heaters, and I don't want to get too technical, is water heaters come with what's called a sacrificial rod in them. And the sacrificial rod is supposed to deteriorate before the tank does. And you can, in theory, replace the sacrificial rod. But no one does, because it requires tools and it requires shutting off the water and sometimes draining down the tank. And very often there isn't enough headroom above the tank to get the sacrificial rod out, and it ends up being a hassle. So in this country, we typically just replace water heaters on a regular basis.
Is there, I don't know if you're in the, if you would say, but is there any water heater tank that's better than another?
Well, probably the longest lasting water heater is a Bach brand water heater.
B-A-C-H?
B-O-C-H.
Oh, B-O-C-H.
B-O-C-K.
B-O-C-K.
They make a lot of water heaters, but one of the things that you want to look at now is an on-demand tankless water heater.
Okay.
Do you have gas service to your house?
We do now, finally, after 20 years of asking them, sure. Yes, we
and
do.
And you definitely want to look at an on-demand system rather than a tank.
Okay.
Because to a great extent, that tank is holding X number of gallons for an extended period of time waiting for somebody to take a bath or to wash it, use the dishwasher or something else. It's really kind of foolish to keep 30 or 50 or 120 gallons worth of water hot 24 hours a day.
Okay.
So you may want to look at some of the newer technology.
All right,
and
sounds good.
If you've got gas service to the house, the efficiency on it is going to be probably close to 95%.
Okay.
So it's going to be a much better system for you, much more economical, and it doesn't need a chimney. It can be vented directly out through the side of the house.
All right. Very good. Appreciate the advice, Steve. Thanks
again. Thanks for calling in.
Yep, bye.
All right.
What's the dog have to say?
The sacrificial rod, the whole thing. I
the
never understood why we had a water heater. Why couldn't they just keep the water as we need it?
Hi.
This is the problem with doing your show at home.
It's just a soundtrack, ladies and gentlemen.
There must be somebody outside.
He has no pets. He has no pets.
Tyro!
Jeez.
All right. Do we need commercials?
Yeah, you know, that's a good idea.
Let's do commercials and I'll quiet the dog down.
All right.
Where's that hammer?
Where's that syringe?
If you are experiencing problems with insects or rodents or bed bugs, almost any pest that is annoying you other than people, you need to call Usoli Pest Control at 914-356-9084. A small family-owned and operated personalized service is offered at all times. Same-day service, 22 years of experience. He's local in the Greenwich area, so he's happy to respond to your needs. All of our services are guaranteed. And once again, it's Usoli Pest Control at usolipestcontrol.com and 914-356-9084. And it's Y-S-O-L-I Pest Control. And he's worked at my house, and I recommend him highly. Green Solutions Landscaping and Tree Services is a licensed and insured full-service provider of landscaping, tree removal, masonry, snow removal, and other property maintenance projects. Green Solutions has been serving Fairfield County since 2011 and is operated and managed by Bernal Mora. Green Solutions offers its customers a comprehensive suite of services which will make your property something to be proud of all year long. At Green Solutions, we treat your property as if it was our own. We provide free estimates and references upon request. And they get involved with property management, seasonal cleanups, weeding, pruning, mulching, weekly mowing, planting, grass seeding and sod, irrigation systems, lawn aeration, gutter cleanup, poison ivy removal, masonry, tree removal, fencing, firewood, installation of Christmas lights, and landscaping construction projects, and even snow removal during the winter. So if you want to give them a call, it's 203-400-4949. That's 203-400-4949. www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. That's a mouthful. So www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. And once again, 203-400-4949.
You know, I listen to these commercials, and I am the nicest guy. I give these guys such long commercials. I do want to say,
no kidding.
I do want to say about Usoli. One of the things that Jonas has been doing is making sure that everybody is wearing gloves and wearing masks and being not only environmentally friendly, but very concerned about making sure that. He's adhering to all the rules and regulations in regard to the virus and keeping things clean. They are working. They are treating houses. And even during the pandemic, if you've got a situation, you want to give them a call. You know, we've been talking about bigger animals, but some of the little animals, the little insects and stuff, are things that we need to be careful with during the summer as well. And, you know, I've had Dynatrap people come on the show to talk about the Dynatrap, but I'll tell you, I recommend that Dynatrap. I keep looking out at the ones that I have in my backyard, and they are just absolutely filled with mosquitoes that have been caught. And did you know that every female mosquito caught eliminates up to 1,000 future mosquitoes?
Up to 1,000?
Isn't that an amazing number? If you catch one, you eliminate over 1,000 future ones.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So there are a lot of different types of mosquito traps now that you can purchase that you should be thinking about if you're sitting outside in your yard and you want to try and help reduce the mosquito population, because you really don't want to get bit by any of these things anymore. Because what they do is, if they bite, you're going to get whatever they got out of that other person. So it could be a mosquito-borne virus. It could be dengue fever. It could be any number of these different viruses and other things that are going on. You just don't want to get bit by anything. Now, nobody wants to get bit by or stung by bees, but there's lots of bees out there. Now, I don't encourage people to kill bees, but go at it for the mosquitoes. Go buy some of these mosquito traps and plug them in. And, the bug zappers have become out of style. Nobody likes to listen to the sizzling in the yard of, well, maybe some people do. I don't know. But the Dynatraps are a kind of like a vacuum system. They attract the mosquitoes creating some carbon dioxide, and that's why mosquitoes are to us. And they suck the mosquito into a trap, and they can't get out. So they die inside the mosquito trap.
And I got to tell you, because you and I have both been at places, and I've seen the Dynatrap actually in work, and it's amazing the number of insects that are caught. And
right.
You realize all these things are flying around you, and you don't really recognize or realize how many there are. Because every now and then, you'll see a mosquito or whatever, but there are zillions of them, obviously. But when you see them, how many this trap captures, it really is a great selling point.
Yeah. The thing is that it's not a big burden to plug one of these in. It's just a light that's lit and a fan that's working, and I don't believe that it's going to be particularly expensive to operate, but it's going to be a lot more expensive if you get sick or, my grandson goes outside for 5 minutes and he's already got a welt on him. His blood type or his skin color or whatever it is, he attracts mosquitoes. So if I go outside, I bring him with me. The bottom line is I don't want him to get bit. And so the Dynatraps are working round the clock. And once a season, I'll actually dump these out. And you can't believe how many there are. You just can't believe it. The important thing is, though, you've got to walk around your property and see where water pools. Because if you've got a bird bath, if you've got a garbage can cover, if you've got anything that holds moisture for a couple of days, that's going to be a mosquito breeding ground. So you really do need to walk around your house and look around to see if anything is wet. And you've got to figure out ways of not holding moisture. And a lot of people have driveway drains that have an accumulation of water in the drain. One of the things that you could do is you could sprinkle a little bit of chlorine powder from your swimming pool. You could put that into there because they're not going to lay their eggs in a chlorinated pool.
But I never do.
Well, no, you probably don't.
I don't.
The bottom line is you want to be really careful during the warmer weather to not allow mosquitoes to be breeding all around your property because you're going to get hit by them eventually.
Well, I always go out wearing, I always wear like long sleeve shirts when I go out. I don't know if that does anything. I don't know if that protects
help.
Me. Yeah, I figure it has to help somewhat.
The thing is,
but I try not to, expose skin as much as I possibly can.
People don't think about a lot of this stuff until it's really a personal thing. So
yeah.
If you get fleas because if an animal has fleas and you've got a cat that got fleas and it sits on your couch and now you've got irritations on your body or you get bed bugs, now you start freaking out. Okay?
Yes.
But there are ways of preventing a lot of this stuff before it becomes a problem and people don't think about it. But if you go into Lowe's or Home Depot or the hardware stores, you see aisle after aisle after aisle of all kinds of bug sprays and preventative stuff and treatment stuff. This is not a little problem. This is an ongoing thing. And, a lot of people are afraid of going to hotels and having bed bugs or going into the city and getting involved with roaches and stuff, and maybe some of these people are going to bring roaches out with their possessions when they move out here. Fairfield County has not had roach problems for the most part. But the bottom line is we've got all kinds of insects that we don't want to bring into the house. And yet we have pets that we let go outside and then we bring them in.
And like me, you know, if I have a pet, usually ends up on the bed. You know, if I have a dog, that's generally where they end up, or a cat, that's where they go.
Well, both my dogs, I admit it, both my dogs will jump up on my bed. Both my dogs will jump up on the couch. They'll look out the windows. They're involved in everything that we do. And somebody the other day said to me, how come so many people in this country wear their shoes in the house? That's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I think of my barefoot dogs running around outside and then coming in and jumping on my bed, I think that's even worse. But
that's
my
a good
little
point.
Fool,
I didn't
he
think
sleeps
about that.
On the bed every night.
Yep.
And fortunately, we haven't been affected by it. But, you know, that could be just a question of time. So that can happen as well.
So I think back years ago when I was married, we had two big dogs and five cats. And they were all on the bed at night.
Really?
Wasn't much room for my ex-wife and I now and for us to sleep, but they were all there. And, you know, we're like, oh, they're furry and they're cool and they're cute and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I guess we were lucky because we didn't have any reactions from bugs and all that kind of stuff. But that was years ago, and it's a lot more toxic now than it was back then. But I know a lot of people who do that. You know, beds are part of the furniture, and that's where the dogs go. And you got to put up with that. If you love your animals, that's something's going to happen if they go outside.
Well, you know, I'm looking at a magazine for pest control people, and I'm looking at the most difficult tick species to control, okay? And number one at 24% is the brown dog tick. And then 22% is the American dog tick. And then the black-legged tick at 22%. And then the Lone Star tick at 15%. Now, years ago, we never even had a Lone Star tick. Lone Star ticks have a dot on their back. And there's now a tremendous number of ticks that are wandering around that could potentially be a problem. And Peter Aquilina, who does deer fencing, Deer Defense is the name of his company, has said to me, you know, most ticks are blind. So they get picked up just by us walking across the grass and getting picked up by our shoes or by our socks or by our pant legs dragging in the grass.
Sure.
But he says these Lone Star ticks, they can see, and they actually search out blood-carrying mammals.
Creatures, yeah.
Yeah. So many fun things to look forward to.
Many things that can really ruin your day.
Spraying the grass is a good idea. Spraying the rough areas is an even better idea, because these animals and insects are out there. Now, tick dragging...
They got to be somewhere.
Tick dragging is something that every once in a while somebody will ask us to do, a tick drag. And basically what that is dragging a piece of white cloth along the grass to see how many ticks you pick up by just dragging the cloth.
Really?
And basically
works. I never heard of that before.
Yeah, the end of a white sheet attached to a stick, and you just drag it across the property. Every 30 to 60 seconds, you check the top or the bottom of the sheet to see if you have any ticks attached.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that a wonderful system?
That's a great visual, I'm thinking here now.
Now, you turn over that piece of white cloth, and you see that there's 14 ticks on there. I'd be running off that yard in 2 seconds, right?
Yeah, so would I. I'd be screaming down the road, you know, get me out of here. Or setting it on fire, maybe.
So the answer to a lot of that is removing leaf litter. So rather than blowing it into a corner of your property and creating a wonderful place for ticks to exist, is maybe getting all that stuff in bags and getting it off your property. Clear any tall grasses and brush around the house and at the edge of the lawns. And putting down maybe a 3-foot wood barrier, a wide barrier of wood chips or gravel between the lawn and wooded areas to restrict the tick migration into the recreational areas. Mow the lawn frequently and keep playground equipment, decks, and patios away from the edge of the yard and the trees. So there's some prevention for you.
So we have a caller. It's the Bishop. So stand by while I get this connected here. And go ahead.
Hey, Steve.
So this is becoming a weekly thing with you.
It's a wonderful time to speak with you because you got all the time in the world now.
You think so?
Yeah. Listen, I some time ago, you were talking about an expansion take on an air conditioner, and you said it was either red or blue. Whereabouts is that expansion tank on an AC?
Expansion tank on...
You said it has to be drained at least once a year.
No, that would be on a water heater, not on an air conditioner.
Oh, a water heater on the AC.
Yeah, not an air conditioning. The an expansion tank is for a hydronic system. So it could be on a water heater. It could be on a boiler.
Uh-huh.
But it wouldn't be on an air conditioner.
Oh, okay. All right. So I got that mixed up. I thought there was something on the AC that I had to look to.
No. No, you don't have to worry about that. The only thing you want to do on the air conditioner is change the filters.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. If I was confusing, I apologize. But
oh no, that's all right. I just. But anyhow, I should give you an opportunity to give you a call.
Water heaters. You're not going to drain the only time you could drain an expansion tank is if you have an old one that is a water-filled expansion tank. The newer expansion tanks have a bladder in it, and there's no way that you can get into that unless you damage it. But you can always drain. You could take a hose and attach it to the petcock on the bottom of a water heater and take a couple of gallons of water out in order to get any sludge or any deterioration materials that might be on the bottom of the water heater. That's the only thing you would be
doing. Well, I drain my tank off the heater every year just to get the air out because mine is a gravity feed.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah, maybe it's time for a new heating system.
Oh, no, this thing is perfect. It heats up the old cast iron radiators, Moyets, nice and toasty in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, there's a lot to be said about some of these old units. You know, we still go in and we still see some old steam units. We see a lot of old hot water units. And the problem with a lot of them is not that they don't work, but they don't give you the same kind of fuel efficiency that some of the new ones do.
Oh, that's for sure.
But for a lot of people, it's a major burden to spend that money changing out the system.
Yeah.
The return on investment very often is worth doing, especially if you're working with really old equipment. But, you know, that's a personal choice.
I simply say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And on that note, that's not a bad philosophy. It's just that you can't ignore certain things.
Yeah.
And so you need to know whether or not it's working properly. Because a lot of people ignore things until they're actually very broken.
Yeah.
And that's not what this show is all about, is ignoring things.
Yeah. On a lighter note, I'm going to give you a little school joke. A teacher says, George Washington not only chopped down his father's cherry tree, but he also admitted it. Now, Lewis, do you know why his father didn't punish him? And Lewis says, because George still had the axe in his hand.
Yeah.
That's a kiddie joke, you know.
Yeah.
Peter right. says, Maria, go to the map and point out North America. Maria goes to the map and she says, here it is. Teacher says, correct. Now, class, who discovered America? Class, Maria.
Thanks, Bishop.
Anyhow, listen, thanks a lot for the conversation. Talk to you later.
All right. That's the Bishop section of the show. Thanks for coming on.
Okay.
There we go. Okay.
The former head of that church is now a regular on my show. That's great.
Well, a lot of people now. There's a lot of people who are part of the show now.
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody has their moment. Certainly, it makes it easier for me, I'll tell you that. I thought
well,
you were the joke
point.
Writer.
Pardon me?
I thought you were the joke writer.
I'm just a joke sayer now.
Yeah.
That's all I have time for.
Yeah. If anyone else wants to come in, it is 203-661-5051, 203-661-5051. If you write it on your refrigerator, you can call us anytime. A number of people are always surprised to hear that we've been doing this for so many years as being on the Saturday morning slot from 8 to 10. It's banging in at like 19 years that between the two stations, and now you can get us on 105.5. In a lot of places, it's very clear and easy to hear the show.
Is that a permanent thing?
Pretty close. Pretty close. Yeah. We're going to use it for quite a while.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
And are we hitting more towns? Are we getting out better? Or what's the story?
A little bit. The 105.5 does seem to push our signal a little more eastward than it did before.
Somebody dusted it off? Is that what they did? And
actually, Tony is up on the top of the tower holding his cell phone up in the air in order for it to be a better signal right now.
And thank you, Tony. A little to the left, more to the left. There you go. Good, perfect.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a small station, and it doesn't get out as far as we'd like it to get. But I was reading about some of the other AM stations as they seem to be disappearing, are letting go some of the on-staff disc jockeys and stuff. There's a lot of changes going on at WICC as well.
Oh, is that right?
It's unfortunate.
I mean, everything's automated.
I read that in the newspaper.
Now, most things are automated these days.
Well, that seems to be the problem, is that there's fewer and fewer stations. There's fewer people listening to AM, so I'm glad we're on both AM and FM now. But there's also fewer opportunities for paid staff. And that's been the trend. You know, more and more stations are automated. More and more stations are don't have personalities anymore.
Well, it's just cheaper, a whole lot cheaper. It's an economic thing. I mean, years ago they'd have the disc jockeys
that
all knew their names.
What I was going to say is, you can well imagine a lot of advertisers do not have the money to put into advertising.
Right.
And that's always an ongoing problem, is getting the advertisers. I've been very fortunate over the years to have a bunch of friends that support my station and support me, and so we've been able to sell the advertising to make up some of the expense. But it's an ongoing battle for a lot of companies to be able to figure out, where do I spend my money? And a lot of companies now are spending money on search engine optimization and websites and other forms of advertising, where radio and television used to be an important piece of the puzzle. And
those were the kings. Those were the kings back in those days.
Well, TV was
like, oh my God, we're TV. That's it. That's the best thing you can ever have.
Yeah, but TV became very expensive.
Yes.
And, you know, the hardware store, it's got to be the chain of the hardware store that's advertising rather than the individual Greenwich Hardware on Main Street in Greenwich, you know.
Of course, internet also has a way of tracking how many people listen to you, for instance, whereas TV and radio, they can do it, but it's an expensive proposition to do it, and they can't get a precise telling of how many people are listening at a particular time.
Right.
Internet can do that.
Well, I don't see why there isn't a way to measure what's listening to on the radio. But, you know, for years we would come in like third behind two other stations, CBS FM and Light FM, and then my show would come in. But we never knew whether to believe these numbers or not, because basically they were asking people to fill out little logs of what they listened to.
Right.
And you don't know whether or not people are filling them out accurately or not, or how many thousands of listeners are listening. You know, right now on Facebook, there's six people. You know, so I know that six people are watching me fool around on Facebook. Now, at any point, people can jump in and jump out, but I don't know who it is unless they make a comment.
Mm-hmm.
But with radio, you would think after all these years, we'd figure out a way of knowing how many people are actually listening to the show. But it's for a lot of radio stations, they can't afford to even do that tracking anymore.
That's right.
It was very expensive. I remember back, in the 60s, there used to be like this truck that would go by, and they would monitor what people were watching.
I can just imagine how legal that is.
Yeah, it wasn't really an efficient way to do it either. You know, you have to go street by street. I mean, come on, you know. But I remember seeing the trucks a couple times.
I can well imagine the invasion of privacy concerns.
That didn't last long.
We're Arbitron and cell phones that are constantly sending signals back and forth right now. You don't think that Alexa and Google are paying attention. Just walk around your house and talk about buying a new couch and see if all of a sudden on the internet you get couch apps.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, it's happened.
All the ads, everything, your whole profile is open for anybody, just about, if you know what you're doing, to find out everything about you. And everything you like, everything you don't like, including people listening in on your conversations or whatever. And that's just part of it. That's just what it is these days. You know, it's Big Brother.
Yeah, Big Brother is listening.
And watching.
One of the things that I have to remember to do in the next 10 minutes, so I'm going to do it right now to cheat, is I'm going to wish my granddaughter a happy 9th birthday. Today is Ava's birthday.
Well,
so happy birthday, Ava, from all of us at the radio station.
Absolutely. Give it.
There we go.
All right.
And can we now take a quick break?
We can now take a quick break.
Actually, it's going to be a slow break, but we have to take a break.
Okay. No problem.
We'll be right back.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Morning fog, then mostly sunny today with highs 84 to 88. Mostly clear, mild and muggy tonight, low 70 to 75. Mostly sunny skies tomorrow with highs approaching 90. Mostly sunny, hot and humid on Monday, 90 to 95. Mostly sunny, hot and humid on Tuesday. Scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms around 90. Mostly sunny on Wednesday around 85. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes right after the radio show. I go run into the classes, and it's a 10-day class, so 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar. And you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is NewEnglandSchoolOfHomeInspection.com. NewEnglandSchoolOfHomeInspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824. If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11 trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy services the Greenwich area and about 50-mile square radius around Greenwich. They also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time-consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719, 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719.
Let me tell you about budget blinds. Budget blinds are, Andrew Bogdan has got budget blinds of Stamford, Greenwich, Norwalk, Weston, Wilton, Rowayton, New Canaan, Darien. He's got them all. Keeps buying up these franchises. And he's being very successful because what he's offering is window treatments at wonderful prices with almost a buy one, get one free kind of thing where you've got a first five-year warranty on everything that they sell, that if there is any problem whatsoever, they will reorder the original order and come and deliver it to your house if there's any issue without any questions asked. So you've got the opportunity to buy plantation blinds and duets and shutters and all kinds of window treatments that will enhance your house
and give you a degree of privacy. If you've got a home theater, you could do the light darkening shades. You can do shades that have strings, shades that don't have strings. What he does is he comes to your house with his display truck, and he can bring out anything that you'd like to see, whether it's automated blinds or manual operated blinds. I have a couple of them in my kitchen that we just use a little remote. It opens and closes so that we can adjust the amount of sunlight coming in. They do beautiful installations. Victor has been with him about 14 years now, and comes and absolutely cleans up after himself after he puts the window treatments in. It's just a wonderful experience. Every time we've had them in the house, it's been great, and the products last a long time, not like some of the garbage that's available in some of the stores. And they back it with that 5-year, no questions asked guarantee. The number to reach them at is 203-614-1559, 203-614-1559, and let them know that you heard it on Around the House.
Nicely done.
Nicely done, huh?
Very well done, sir.
All right, so the tip of the week for this week is I want people to wander about their house and look for entrance holes and damages that might allow bugs or birds or little critters to sneak in. And I want you to think about having someone fill in those holes so that you don't have an ongoing problem of a lot of the things that we talked about today. So the first step is to walk around and see whether there's any places where things can get in. The second step is either to fill those holes or to have someone come in and deal with those holes so that you don't have problems on the inside of the house. Will that work for you for a tip?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You are on a roll.
I am on a, well, I asked one kid how he was doing in the school, and he said, on a roll.
Well, there you go.
But it wasn't
obviously,
on a roll.
Obviously, it wasn't me.
On a roll.
That certainly wasn't me.
No, nor I. It's funny, the...
and here we are.
There's every once in a while, I don't know how you are, but every once in a while I think, maybe I'll get my doctorate. Maybe I'll get my
doctorate. I never thought that.
Maybe I'll apply to this University of Phoenix or University of New Hampshire or this and that, and I'll get my doctorate in something. Wouldn't that be fun?
What would it be?
I don't know. What do I need a doctorate for? I mean, when I got my master's and my 6-year degree, I said the same thing to myself. What do I need that for? And so I didn't do it. It looks like there's something in one of the planters outside. It looks like a squirrel. The dog is barking at it.
Get
it out! All right, so sound effects are by Cairo Glass. Anyway, I hear the music. Thank you for everyone.
I hear the dog barking.
Coming to the end just in the nick of time.
Just in the nick of time. We'll end this segment with dogs barking. All right, everybody stay safe. Everybody wear your mask. And especially if you're around us, wear your mask.
Especially.
We'll see everybody next week.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
Here comes Hannah.
Portland Gassing. I'm Christopher Cruz. It's now Hurricane Hannah, and she's heading to the Texas coast, where it will make landfall later today with high winds and heavy rain. Meteorologist Allison Chinchar is watching the storm's track this morning.
Now, in terms of rain, you're starting to see some of those outer bands already begin to push back in, not just in Texas, but also even across portions of Louisiana. Widespread rainfall, 3 to 5 inches, but there will be some spots that could pick up 8, 9, even 10 inches of rain before the system finally pushes out.
There was more fighting between federal agents and protesters in Portland, Oregon last night and overnight. Correspondent Lucy Kafanoff reports a federal judge has denied Oregon's request to restrict the federal agents' actions against the demonstrators.
He explained the reasoning in a 14-page decision, saying while this case does involve allegations of harm done to protesters by law enforcement, the plaintiff in this case is not a protester. He also said that the state wasn't seeking redress for past harm.